Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to this.
Superman.
I'm sorry to be raised.
You are here.
The lasso of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Welcome to DC on RMD, Batwoman Edition on Rain Man Digital. Find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm your host, Lauren. I have Paul.
Hey.
And the ghost of Bob.
I'm doing stuff.
What's that? The wind.
All right. Today we're going to be talking about Batwoman Season 1, Episode 8, A Mad Tea Party. This was a rough one. That's not how that goes. It says Mary kills, but Jacob is framed. Come on, it's Alice that killed her.
Whatever.
But
been a long week. Sorry,
Catherine Hamilton.
I moved over Thanksgiving, which didn't make me remember a lot of things.
No, that's fair. I mean, Mary's not responsible, but also her mom wasn't going to let her die. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
This week was directed by Holly Dale, written by Nancy Koo. So Alice's Mad Tea Party finally happens. Here we are. We're at the end of this particular plot that she has. Mouse is still impersonating Jacob, and exactly what I think Paul said was going to happen, which is Jacob, poisoning Catherine and then getting framed for it and like going to jails.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about, you know, poison and stuff last week and how that was definitely the way one of them was going to become harmed for sure. Like 100%, like you know that that's what it's going to be when it's like you're impersonating that person to get into like their home and stuff and to have them be not on guard around you.
Yeah.
You're absolutely going to be slipping poison into something. Like that's just, come on. We knew someone was going to die, and Jacob was not going to be the one to die because
he was
going
to be the one to take the fall.
Yeah, because Alice wants to punish him. So there we are.
So with the death this week, did you guys? I always like when they kill characters. I don't know why, because it just makes
it's less to focus on.
Well, that yes, but it also makes me feel like they're willing to do that. There's consequences of what's going on. Like we can even look at the crossover right now. We know whatever's going to happen is going to happen, you know, and they're promising deaths. Well, they're not going to kill Oliver because Oliver has two more episodes after. So what the fuck's going on, you know, type of thing. When they
the last episode of Arrow is the next episode. It is the
I cover Arrow as a
it's
ritual,
eight, isn't it?
No, it is 10 episodes. There are two more episodes after the crossover ends.
When did that change?
It's always been 10.
Are you sure?
100% well,
yeah,
positive.
Of course you're sure, but I'm still not sold.
But
different show. Go on.
But you know what I mean? Like that's what I always liked about Game of Thrones and things like that they would kill off major characters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, I would almost rather them kill off somebody more important because none of us give a shit. Like, oh, the stepmom died. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I feel very bad for Mary. I feel nothing at all for her mother dying.
No, but I do feel for the impact that it's going to have on the relationship between Mary and Kate.
Absolutely.
Catherine Hamilton was a plot device in a good way, in the way that she should have been, because no, she doesn't mean the same thing to Kate that she does to Mary. But Mary thinks that things should be important to Kate if they're important to her because they're sisters. And like, that's valid, you know? So it's causing a rift in their whole situation. So,
Is it going to be a good riff though? Are they going to ruin a character we've loved?
I don't know. I hope it'll be okay.
I mean, she's not closing, at least currently. She's not closing the little medical studio backdoor thing. So I still think eventually they'll get back onto the same page. It might be rough waters for them for the rest of the season. We'll see what happens. But I think eventually they'll be okay together, because eventually Alice will be dealt with in some way.
And Kate finally reaching a point where she's willing to say that Alice is not worth it and that she has crossed a line that Kate can no longer forgive. I think that's an important
difference. I was glad to see that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm still like, you know, she's doing bad, but like, I don't know, bring her to justice or whatever. Like, I'm still surprised that Dad's just like, all right, I'm gonna fucking kill this bitch. Like, all right, okay, Dad. She's still your daughter. Like, maybe just arrest her.
But again, as somebody has a daughter, I don't know if I would kill her. But I don't know if you're going to fuck with my life to that point where you kill my wife, you try to ruin me.
But like, maybe try to send her to jail first.
Well, but here's the thing, though, too. Like, she is not giving in to anything that anyone does for her to try and bring her back to like a reasonable person. And not only did she kill someone, you know, she killed Catherine in front of her daughter. You know, she did that to Mary too, who wasn't innocent in all of this.
Yeah, I mean, that whole Alice, Mary, and Mom scene was like very supervillain. It was a good scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%. But like, Mary didn't deserve that. So not only did she kill Catherine, but she killed her in front of Mary, made Mary go through that, framed Jacob for it. And yeah, I mean, she basically ruined both of their companies, too.
Do you think that she, obviously getting rid of Catherine and framing Jacob was the whole plan, but do you think she got any like satisfaction out of hurting the other sister?
Yeah, when she was confronted by Kate in the building where this all happened, she yelled at, like, she lashed out at Kate talking about it, saying, you know, Dad let in this woman, you know, believed a woman that he had known for less than a year and replaced us with this vapid, you know,
she starts
ranting about how Mary is like a vapid waste of space when, like,
how, you know, she seemed in like the first episode, and then immediately you love her.
The persona that she puts off on social media as opposed to who she actually is, which is very intelligent, articulate, and understanding of what a good social presence can do for you as a person. Like, okay. Amazing. I love her, and Alice hates her because she feels replaced.
I love Alice. I think Alice is the best villain I've seen in the Arrowverse in quite some time.
Yeah.
So I jot down little notes in like real time while I'm watching the episodes. And so my second little note here for this episode is Alice actually going to do anything bad? She's so likable.
And even killing Catherine is like,
justifiable.
Well, that was like 2 minutes into the episode, and then the rest of the episode happened, and like, now she's a villain.
So likable,
but
she's just trying to find something to wear to the gala.
But yeah, by far,
I love her.
I want to say, like, the only other like major villain that's had like an impact, if we want to go with like a little bit of Lex last year in Supergirl, because he was pretty much as awesome as a Lex could be, and then Deathstroke and Arrow, I don't know anybody else who's had like this kind of impact.
So not quite the same, but like whatever, still CW. Did you watch iZombie?
Yes.
I feel like Blaine
okay,
was a really good like ongoing antagonist.
Because I think that's what some of these shows are missing sometimes. Because we all know the bad guys run the show. The hero's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm intrigued every time she's on. Every word she says, every action is with purpose. And I just don't feel like that she's, I don't know, getting her due, like, on the interwebs and stuff.
Alice?
As like a villain, yes.
Okay.
I have not looked into any of it at all, but if I did and I didn't see anything, I would also be upset.
I have absolutely seen articles about how she is the best, like the best villain on screen right now, and like the best like Arrowverse villain. Yeah, denofgeek.com. Batwoman's Alice is the best villain in the Arrowverse.
Den of Geek just actually wrote that because we said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They copied. Okay. When was it done?
November 8th.
That's when I said it the first time.
And, okay. And we had said it many times before all that, right. Too. So we said it in the second episode, I'm pretty sure.
But anyway, I mean, there are articles about the character, et cetera. But you're right. She's probably not getting enough recognition for how good she is, because holy crap. And like, no matter what she does, she's always teetering, you know, like between Beth and Alice, but not in a way that makes Alice less believable. Just in like this emotionally tormented, like your apology feels good. Like it, I accept your apology, noted. And I feel vindicated, but I'm not forgiving you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those when she forgive, or when she says thank you to her father for apologizing and thank you to Catherine for apologizing. She's not forgiving them. She's not letting them off the hook, but she feels vindicated and she lets herself feel that vulnerable bit of emotion for that moment. And like, there's something weirdly off color about that, because like no normal human would be like thank you and be like, you know, obviously moved and in tears and then still like kill someone anyway.
Well, and then going from lines and moments like that to, oh, he'll be fine, he knows better than to poison himself, like there's so much range in the character. And just like she'll say something that's like, oh, that's bad, that's a bad thing to say to them, and it still like immediately puts a smile on your face.
Because she's great. She's incredible. I honestly, even with Deathstroke and Arrow, like he was a cool villain and he was like well played, and the, I don't know, the betrayal that he felt, you know, felt genuine and real and all that stuff. But I still don't even think he was as impressive as Alice is.
I kind of feel like he's like a nostalgia villain where you remember him better than he was.
No, I mean, he was great. Manu Bennett did a really good job.
Well, yeah, like not at the time, but like it's not something that I'd go back and rewatch now specifically to compare to any other character.
Okay. I don't know. I just, my comparison is based on like other villains being, I think, written more one note, and then obviously acting comes into play too, but I don't think his performance was necessarily like not as good per se, but like Alice is just so good. She's well written, she's incredibly performed, and there's so much, I don't know, like variety and like polar opposite like emotions. And like, she's a fucking sociopath. Like, she's a sociopath all the way through. Like, she's off her rocker, like emotionally ruined, and that's just not something that we've seen in other villains. So I just don't feel like other villains are even comparable to her, because they just haven't been written with the intensity.
It doesn't seem like she really has a plan.
But then she does. But yeah, then she doesn't. Right. But she does.
Yeah, it's so, like you said, kind of bipolar of, I'm crazy, I love my family, fuck you, I'm going to kill my family. Hey, hi, sister, I love you, I'm going to kill you.
I would say that is, you know, whatever, just as far as like comparisons and like well-established characters. The one that would come to mind for me is, because we've seen them like three or four times, but Eobard Thawne, the Reverse Flash, because he's been all over the place.
Yeah.
So he's had that time to be developed in like every way possible. Like, he's almost as developed as the main character of any of the shows.
True.
That's true. That's fair. But yeah, I mean, Alice is just so good in every way, and she's so all over the place in ways that I think if a lesser actress had been cast as her, it wouldn't have been believable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have some chops. Because we probably would have been like, I don't think this girl knows what she's doing.
Yeah, even all the same lines not delivered the same way could easily ruin this character. She could be Cheese City.
She's amazing. She goes from being angry and like kind of like prissy and like snobby and having an attitude to then changing her face entirely to emotionally vulnerable and a bit sad and hurt and broken and her eyes welling up with tears and then immediately switching back to, oh, well, here you go. Here's this next part of my plan. So good luck. Like, it's just phenomenal acting. But so let's talk about her actual plan, her actual tea party coming to fruition and how it was really on the nose with the name. The poisoning plot and all of that. That was, all right, cool, like whatever. But like the fact that she's been calling it a tea party the whole time and then like ends it with like, I have a tray with a teacup with an antidote in there, like waiting for this moment. Like she's so all about the details. I love it. But this is really, really, I don't know, not like messing with the story, but like throwing everything up in the air for what we have established with Batwoman so far, because cool, maybe Jacob Kane can get out of jail, but like, what if he can't? And then like, what does Batwoman do then? Does she take down Alice herself? Like, does
then Barry Allen runs around for the next season and a half trying to get her dad? Oh, wait, wrong one.
Wrong
what
show.
What happens to Crow? What the fuck?
Yeah, who takes that over? I'm sure in the interim, someone would be like acting director.
Oh, God, it's going to be Sophie.
Yeah, probably. And like, oh dear. and meanwhile, Mary's ruined for the time being. She just watched her mother die in anguish in her arms because of her sister's sister, who is a supervillain.
I don't hesitate taking the antidote, by the way.
What do you mean?
Like, if I had a choice between like my dad and me. Sorry, Pops.
Yeah, you lived your life.
You're not just gonna wait for him to offer it and then just down it right away. You're just gonna take it.
He says there's only one. You had a good run, old man.
I love you, Papa.
Sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're gonna go with Mary. I mean, obviously she's gonna spiral into a dark place because mom's dead, dad's in jail, and the only other person she has, she's mad at.
Yeah, for
all of this happening.
Yeah. Well, and like for not really being there for her in certain ways, because even though she felt a certain way about her mom, like, yeah, you could go for Mary though. Like you could support Mary. She just wants to feel loved and important to people, and that's valid. So yeah, I think Mary's going to spiral for a minute and,
I hope it's not too long. I hope it's not like drawn out like six episodes into the second half.
Grieve for the appropriate amount of time.
You grieve until I say you're done grieving.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, you know, still grieve for sure, but maybe don't hate Kate forever. Because Kate didn't kill your mom. And like, no one could have known what was going to happen. Like, no one knew about Catherine lying about the DNA of the bones until well after Kate had taken, like, had the opportunity to like take Alice in and whatever, and like, yeah, she goes to see her and stuff like that, but like no one knew she was going to do this. It still seemed like there was some chance for redemption there, for her to go to Arkham and be like committed rather than just murdered or like something like that. So I
hope that she does not get killed. I don't want that to be the end for Alice, but extra salt in the wound. So even if, you know, mom is dead, even if dad gets off the hook, gets out of jail or doesn't go to jail or whatever, there was still the whole, you know, the gala,
the speech,
yeah,
that she forced Catherine to give,
the condemning, and then
that's
like without,
I said, she ruined their company
without even a chance to, you know, publicly defend herself, you know, make any announcements, anything after that, immediately gets killed. So like that's,
and the public doesn't know that Alice is behind this, right. So there's no, yeah,
just blood money, and my husband does the protecting of the city while I do all the giving the weapons to the bad guys. We just profit off of you.
So, I mean, crows might even be like disbanded.
I mean,
with Jacob in jail.
I don't think they are. I think they're still like fine because there's no real proof of that yet. They can't just shut them down just like on principle, just saying that that's happening. But yeah, I don't know. All right, so, sorry, that was really distracting. I'm just going to do the live read now, I guess. Hey, DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and or review, you help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. All right, so let's talk about the least important part of the episode. Can I just say, okay, so Sophie and Tyler, I am glad that he's not just a little soft boy that's not addressing this at all. Like, he's absolutely like, hey, something seems up with my wife, and I'm not totally sure if she loves me or if she'd rather be, like, scissoring with Kate over there. So, what the
I'm
hell
gonna say.
It was kind of like, it was kind of like Catherine dying. Like, I feel great for Tyler and what he's doing and feel nothing for Sophie or her pain.
Yeah, 100%. Just because you married a guy, just because you were like, I need to follow the rules, and being straight is apparently a rule.
Dude,
so.
And that fucking line just set her up to be like, I hate her as much as I can hate her. She's just such a phony.
Yeah.
Like, the one time I did what I wanted to do, there were consequences. So I'm just going to lie the rest of my life.
Cool. So our marriage is a lie then. Awesome.
Yep.
And she just doesn't answer him every time he asks her a question. Like straight Sophie, up. You suck.
Yeah. Sophie, are you the worst?
So yes. Yes, you are.
They're doing absolutely nothing for her character again, because I felt for him the whole time. Like, he's being like straight up. Again, maybe the most awkward opportunity to do it. Hey, while we're just chained here anyways.
Hey, like, I mean, we're tied, so this is an uncomfortable conversation neither of us can get out of.
Kate,
like, that makes
Kate
sense,
was brought
honestly.
Up and, like, obviously, like, she's not killed by Alice because Kate and blah, blah, blah. And so that brings
Thank
it
God
back
you did
up.
That lesbian thing or we'd be dead.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, ugh.
And then just, like, the awkward conversation, like, hey, can you take your ring off? And then, like, that whole thing, I was like, man, but you're right. Sophie's not getting anything to make her like us want her to get anything good happening to her.
Yeah. No.
Because it's just like,
I just want like one or two more bad things and then you can kill her. It's just bottom of the barrel and then shoot her.
But if this is the love interest as a writing thing, you want to root for the couple to get together. At this point, you're like, no, don't go with her because she's fucking weird.
What's she just gonna? What she just gonna hurt you too, Kate? Like, cool. She's already done that, and now she's hurt Tyler. And now she's just gonna. You're gonna welcome her back, and she's just gonna ruin your life also. No.
Yeah.
She's horrible. She's a horrible person who is using her own fear as an excuse to treat people poorly.
Yeah, this whole thing just made me upset.
The fact that they framed it like she was the victim towards the end of the episode, they gave her crying on the stairs more time, I think, than they gave Mary crying and like throwing the stuff off of the counter in her clinic, grieving her mother who just died in her arms. Absolutely fuck that. Like, that's 100%. That's not what I want to see at all. Like, fuck you. Sophie made her choices and she made horrible choices that hurt other people. Okay, sure. Maybe it was a mistake. But when you started having feelings for Kate again, you need to address that with your husband, because he's clearly been trying to probe you about it and be like, hey, what's going on?
I want How kids. Are you feeling? Do you want a bunch?
Do you still love me? And
did you
she's
ever?
Just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I want kids and a white picket fence.
I'm a stupid
I want vagina.
Fence.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, at least be upfront with it.
With each episode, I get more upset with Sophie and how crappy she is and less like apologetic towards her behavior or anything that happens to her. Because I, for a second there, I was like, man, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe she was like, you know, really fearful of losing everything that she had by coming out and her parents and stuff like that. And like, I get it being afraid, but no, dude, like, you have been such a coward your whole life that you're just letting yourself be an asshole and you're hurting people and you're using them, because she's been using him as a beard, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't, if you don't want to, you know, come out and say that you are like same sex individuals or, you know, whatever, you don't want to deal with that, you, with your parents, I guess, specifically, and your life, like, you don't also have to put up this charade and like marry a dude for the cover. You
guess
just
what?
Be a single individual.
Big surprise. You don't have to tell everyone you work with what your sexual preference is. Like, you're done with the military. You're done with your military school. You're in a job now. And your boss is someone who doesn't care because he knew about your relationship with his daughter and supported it. Like, at what point did you just decide, no, it's better to keep lying and I should probably get married to a straight guy?
Gonna help my career.
If God. I just keep the secret, it'll turn into cancer and I can die with it. That's how that works, right?
I don't. Is that how that works?
Yeah, I think so.
I just
gotta start telling the truth more.
Yeah, secrets is killer.
Secrets is bad news.
Why don't they say that on TV?
All right, so let's.
It's a secret.
Let's break away from our little bitch fest. Shake it off, you know. All right. Let's talk thoughts on the first half of the season, because this essentially is the cutoff point. You know, this is like the mid season,
the real mid season.
Yeah. The real mid-season finale, we had some conclusions here. We had some new things pop up, but this is a nice settling point to move on to Crisis next week. So, Bob, why don't you go first?
I'm honestly shocked that this isn't getting more fanfare as far as the show goes. Because
like praise?
Yes.
Okay.
Beep, 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 beep. Fair.
Yeah. Just because I think it's written the best out of the CW, you know, the Arrowverse shows. And Alice as a villain is the best one we've seen in forever. That everything that she does, what, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, whether you believe it's on purpose or she's just fucking psycho, it all makes sense at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried at the beginning because they pitched this show as the first lesbian superhero, and I thought it was going to be all lesboed out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to be able to raise that flag, but this is just
a superhero.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I was concerned about going into having to review this show.
I mean, that's like Ryan hasn't even watched this at
because
all yet,
still
for the same reason.
He still believes that this is like, oh, it's a girl, like kind of like conversations like they did in the preview, which mm-hmm. didn't do them any good. Because, again, I'm not – CW has always done a very good job at promoting, you know, different races, sexes, you know –
They all exist.
And I just didn't think that they needed to promote this show like that. And I was glad that it wasn't thrown, you know, in our faces every single week, that they've stayed kind of true to a story and sprinkled it in as needed, like they do with the rest of the shows. Mm-hmm. It wasn't overpowering. So I want to say it's off to a good start, and I wish more people were actually watching this show than are.
Bob kind of hit a lot of it, but like I honestly feel like the show is constantly moving. Even just tying back to this most recent episode, like the opening scene, she's beating the hell out of some guys and getting something, and we don't even know what's going on, and then she gives it to Luke, and it is, honestly, I don't even remember what it was, but
cell phone.
Yeah, it got the plot moving immediately, and we didn't have to like harp on it, and it was where we were going with that episode, and you know, that is how we started on the track to get there. And I feel like the show is just kind of always doing that, where they are glancing over stuff that doesn't matter but needs to happen to keep things moving. And that's great. I feel like that is a big, not many of the other shows do that. The choreography just in general, like it's not like Daredevil on Netflix, but it's none of it is bad either.
Yeah, it's solid.
Most recent episode, the whole like up the stairway and hallway fight scene was really solid. And the directing, the camera work where it was all like silhouettes because the light was behind them. It looked cool. It looked good. Really, like there, a lot of these episodes don't even have a lot of Batwoman in them, and I don't mind. The parts that have her are good; they're action packed, or they are what they need to be to get you a satisfied feeling from the character. And then the rest of the show is just story, however they need to develop it.
Yeah, and we've always, I think, said that it doesn't matter who puts on the cowl; it's how they play Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. and that's what we're getting here with Kate versus Batwoman. It's, you know, Ruby's playing Kate perfectly, in my opinion, and we aren't, you know, running into problems or things that are distracting me from watching the show. Mm-mm.
It's also really nice to see that, you know, when a show first starts out, its pilot episode, its first few episodes after that, things can be not necessarily stiff, but nobody's really found their characters like fully yet. No one's fully comfortable with the character that they're playing yet. And watching this episode really confirmed for me that Ruby Rose is finding her footing, becoming comfortable in Kate and Batwoman's skin. Watching Mary just go off on Kate about how, like, her mother's dead now, and like this is all because of Alice and blah blah blah, and like is Alice still worth it? And Ruby in that moment wasn't like no, and like just like really forward with it. She just stood there, her eyes were wide, there were tears in her eyes, and she very quietly said no, and like just the emotion in her face, like she is getting into this role, she's getting even more comfortable, and we're seeing a better and better Kate each episode, I think. And it's phenomenal. This whole show, I think you guys covered pretty much all of it. The writing has been great. We have not had the basic bitch formula.
We haven't fallen the CW trap yet.
Yeah. The villain has been incredible, which is a very important part of one of these shows. And yeah, I mean, not every episode is just Batwoman, Batwoman, Batwoman. And that's totally fine because, as you said, Paul, like it's action packed when it needs to be, or it is what it needs to be while she's in the cowl. And that's great. But you care about what's going on for Kate, both in her, I don't know, journey as Batwoman, and also in the underlying stuff going on in her life with the other players in the show. And everything, like, with the exception of Sophie, no character, I think, is terrible in this show.
Like, literally, moment to moment through the whole show, it basically just is what it needs to be.
Yeah. I think, Bob, too, what you said about they're proposing this show and you know, talking about it and flaunting it as like, oh, first lesbian superhero show, like blah blah blah. I think we've learned by now that they'll use those buzzwords to get it out there. You know, it's a buzzword, it's a headline worthy word, blah blah blah. It gets attention, and they're so careful, I think, about writing queer characters on the CW now that better at it than they are writing straight relationships. They put so much thought and care into it because they know that they're going to be like alienating or like upsetting a whole community if it's just like, I'm gay, I'm so gay, I'm just gay every day. Like that's the whole thing.
You're
like,
being real flamboyant over there.
I know, that was the point. But yeah, I mean, you just can't do that because gay people don't want to watch that. Bi people don't want to watch that. Anywhere on the spectrum of queer, nobody wants to just watch someone like not genuinely act like, look at how gay I am.
I don't want to be represented incorrectly.
Yeah. And it's, that's not who the character is. She's not just, hi, I'm a lesbian and I fight crime. I'm super lesbian. Like, that's not what the character is. Like, her sexuality is a part of her.
Hi, I'm Heavy Flow. You guys ever see that Family Guy?
Yeah. But her sexuality is a part of her. It doesn't define her whole personality and her whole character. Like, she's a lady who fights crime and also happens to be into ladies. Like, that's it. Cool. Great. Moving on.
That's honestly part of why I like her so much, is she's like her whole personality. She's very straightforward, like no nonsense. This is what I need and this is what needs to happen. And I also like ladies. So I just identify with the character.
You have so much in common. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into our final thoughts.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Installed on loaded
stuff.
Did
you Wikipedia this?
No.
So you have directions on how to install a sex swing properly.
I know how to install a sex swing, yes.
Have you installed one before?
Was it for you?
No. I did not use it.
You see this in this old house?
Was it for your cat?
It was for your mom.
It was my anniversary present to my mother and my stepmom.
Jeez, I love you.
For more Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
All right, we are back. So we did our thoughts on the season so far.
We still got to rate the episode.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Wow.
I would have gave it a 90, but Sophie was in it.
Oh,
dang.
Burn.
So that downgrades 70. It to like a 78. Because those scenes with her just made me fucking cringe so
God,
bad.
I wish I could rate the episode just on like everything else that happened and everyone else's performances and then like cut out all of the Sophie stuff
so
and rate.
We're going to go the Star Wars route where we cut out the things that we don't like.
Sophie's
and
not
then
canon.
Re-release it.
Sophie's not canon.
It's not canon.
Not everyone watches those scenes, so it's not canon. That's basically a Ryan Denton quote.
The Sophie cut. Because I always base my ratings on, does the story make sense? You know, do I buy the bullshit? And, you know, do people's reactions actually are believable? And Sophie doesn't have any of those things. Like, her character just takes it down a notch for me. Everything with Mary, Alice, you know, the whole Kate thing, like all the acting between them, Kate getting mad with her dad at the end saying, yeah, we're gonna fucking put a bullet in her sister, I'm not gonna stop you. You're like, oh shit, this is gonna get real.
And they're emotional, so you're like, okay, well, I'll let this one pass, we'll reconvene on this in the morning.
Yeah, I mean,
you are currently in jail, dad.
How are you gonna shoot
they
her?
Record everything in this room.
He's joking. He's joking, I swear.
I'm not gonna stop you though.
Where do you want me to shoot her? I have a friend, she wears a black suit. Anyway, the way that character is written is just taking some of the joy out of the show for me. So, yeah.
So what did you actually give it? And
78.
Oh, damn. Really? Okay. So like, honestly, a lot of what you said, but I am able to take satisfaction out of scenes and scenarios where Sophie's character gets like shit on. And since nothing has been coming up Sophie for the last couple of weeks, you know, especially this episode, I like that. First she gets the whole Kate, like, hey, I just don't think I should be around you anymore on account of you're awful. So bye. And then the husband realizing that she's awful and, I mean, more or less bye. I mean, we might need a little bit more development on that, but I think they're like, they're done. So I like when bad things happen to Sophie. And this episode, you know, had a bunch of Alice, had some things that I was predicting or expecting, or, you know, either way, it had some climax, some shit happened in this episode. I'm very curious to see, you know, what's going to happen now. Dad's in jail. Stepmom's dead. Estranged sisters are estranged. Like, what's next? Where are we going? So I want to probably do at least I'll do a 90.
Hey, that's where I'm at.
I was thinking about going higher, but I'm gonna stick with a 90 because I don't want to blow it.
Don't want to blow it. Okay, so for me, yeah, I'm gonna go with a 90 because I think they wrapped things up enough to be settled for, you know, mid-season break, move on to the crisis situation for the time being. We're at a nice stopping point, but everything isn't done. Like, it's not like Alice is in jail now, so we're done. Who's going to be our next villain for the next half of the season? Like, no, but things are at a lull. Alice completed her tea party plan, and she will probably be like, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, just sit and mull on it and think about it and, you know, wonder how she should torture the city next. And while I hate Sophie, think she's a bag of dicks, and hate her getting anything that seems like sympathy, because screw you. Treat people like your own emotional punching bag, you stupid bitch. But I'm rooting for Tyler, man. You go out there, you heal,
get
you find someone that you want to be with who treats you the way you deserve to be treated.
Who wants kids and a picket fence?
Okay, man. So that said, you know, cool. Thumbs up for Tyler. How much more of the show do you think he'll be in?
He'll die soon.
Right. Or just be written off. I mean, either way.
No, they'll probably kill him to make us try and feel something for Sophie.
And then Sophie
won't feel anything, though.
Right. Okay.
Now I don't have to get divorced.
Woo! Woo! Now I'm a widow.
Hey, did he take me off the will, or do I get his life insurance policy?
Right.
Finally, so, now I can afford a good wedding with a lady.
So even though I hate Sophie, I still do find joy in those scenes. Poor Tyler. Because he's a character that when we first met him, we were like, Tyler, who cares about this chump? And now we're just like, nah, you go, King. Fucking you get out there, you be happy. You find someone who treats you how you should be treated. Screw this Sophie bitch. Honestly, like, she sucks so bad. So
worst character on CW.
But yeah, but overall the episode was good. I think I was hyped through most of the episode, though, you know, like, emotions were high. I don't care about Catherine Hamilton as a character, but I love Mary, and the impact that death had was so big. And the whole scene with Alice and the two of them and the whole reveal of her little plan and all of that, everything was so good. I give this episode a 9.
Cool.
All right, so that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Batwoman edition. Remember, you can catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes on DCOnRMD.com. And we will catch you next time for some crisis stuff. The crossover is coming.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.